The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Former Raiders receiver Henry Ruggs appeared in court yesterday on charges of felony DUI resulting in death. Some of the details, horrifying. His Corvette going 156 miles per hour just 2 seconds before impact with the Toyota RAV4, that the collision resulted in the death of the 23-year-old driver. Also, blood alcohol content more than twice the legal limit. Here is Raiders coach Rich Bisaccia and quarterback Derek Carr from Wednesday talking about the Ruggs situation.
First of all, we want to express our sincere condolences to the victim's family. A person lost their life yesterday morning, and we think it's important to keep focus on that as we talk about this tragic event. We're deeply saddened for everyone affected, especially the victim's family. That being said, we love Henry Ruggs and want him to know that. His terrible lapse in judgment of the most horrific kind. It's something that he'll have to live with the rest of his life. The gravity of the situation is not lost on anyone here, and we understand and respect the loss of life.
He needs people to love him right now. He's probably feeling a certain type of way about himself right now, and he needs to be loved. And if no one else will do it, I'll do it.
Yesterday reminded me of what we said yesterday, that there's still a human being here who has to deal with the aftermath of this horrifying event. He knows he's responsible. He knows what he did. And the details that came out yesterday make it more clear. And look, on one hand, the range, very broad range under Nevada law for this crime is 2 to 20 years. Based upon the details that I heard yesterday, he should probably get the full 20. But at the same time, there's a human being there whose life will go on after those 20 years end if he does get the maximum. And, you know, Chris, if it was my daughter that died in that accident, I would want to kill Henry Ruggs
no
with my
doubt.
Own two hands.
Right. I hear you. I would too.
But if it was my son that was driving that Corvette,
yeah,
I would, you know, what do you do? What do you do at that point?
Yeah. You'd be angry, you know, at him. Why are you that stupid? But you'd love him to death too. Like,
you're as a parent to go through either of those traumas.
Yeah.
Changes your life forever.
Right.
This event has affected so many lives in a negative way. And Ooh. Henry Ruggs is responsible for it.
Yeah.
He got behind the wheel of that Corvette when he was 0.161 blood alcohol content. The legal limit in every state is 0.08. That was wrong. That was criminal.
Right.
He drove a Corvette 156 miles per hour. 156, not on some track somewhere, on downtown streets in Las Vegas. 156. He was going 127 when the airbags deployed.
Ooh.
And all this stuff is calculated immediately by the onboard computers in these cars now.
Right.
They know. They can tell.
Yeah.
So it's inexcusable and it's indefensible, but there's still a human being
that's
involved in all of this that's got to go on with his life after 20 years, if he does get 20. And if I would want 100 if I was the father of the girl who was killed in this accident. So this is a horrible situation. And, you know, what I said yesterday is no matter how long he spends in prison, I hope Henry Ruggs dedicates his life to going around to any school that will let him in and talking to the kids there about his experience so they can learn it through him. Because I think what happens is, you know, you go about your life as you're a kid. And then some tragic event happens and you're like, holy crap, I had no idea. This is a way for him to affirmatively teach the lesson and maybe save lives once he does his time. And again, I'd say full 20 at this point,
yeah,
based on the details that came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's, there's got to be some good in here somewhere that comes out of it over the long haul. And I hope he uses his experience as a way to get others to realize, just press the button on your damn phone and the car shows up. And you go home, and you need to know when to do that. And, maybe on nights like that, if you know you're going to be drinking, you don't even take your car out. You use Uber or Lyft to get you where you're going, and use Uber or Lyft to get you home.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know. You made that point yesterday. I mean, yeah, I hear you all the way there. I mean, with Henry Ruggs, it's a horrible incident. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. He's horrible for what he did. But I think you said it right. You don't just abandon the guy. You know, I appreciate the comments there by Rich Bisaccia and Derek Carr. Yeah, I mean, they have a relationship with him. You know, they do care for him. They understand how bad and egregious this horrible mistake was and then how wrong he was. But, yeah, I mean, again, I don't think the Raiders had any choice here in this situation. We said yesterday it's very odd that a team would release a guy that quickly after that type of incident. Usually, you know, there is a little compassion shown or he's put on the commissioner exempt list and then after the season it's over. But yeah, with these type of details, you can't fault the
Raiders. I understand now.
Yeah,
understand
exactly.
Now.
We know. As soon as it came out, I went, well, there it is. Right. Yeah. Exactly right. With I believe, a loaded gun in the car, right? That's another aspect of this that we haven't even mentioned yet. I mean, so it's a horrible look. And I think you said it exactly right. But yeah, hopefully at some point after he serves his time, he can, you know, shed some light and save some other people's lives. By, like what you said, educating young kids, educating other NFL football players. He's not the first NFL football player to drive a car 156 miles per hour. I can tell you that. They can't. I mean, this is part of what makes NFL players. They're renegades. Most of them are absolute renegades. If we were back in the Wild West and we had six shooters, they'd be the guys going, let's get outside and take 20 steps and let's go for it. I've had enough of you. That's the kind of mindset we are talking about here. And he's a young kid and he made a horrible, horrible mistake. I feel for the family. And like you said, I hope he can maybe make some good of this in the future.
And I'm curious about a lot of things. I don't know, between being a reporter and being a former lawyer, I want to know who he was drinking with, who else was in a position to maybe keep him from getting behind the wheel, were there other teammates involved, you know, where was he? Where was he and what was he doing and who was he doing it with? And those are all questions that hopefully will be answered at some point. But, I think the Raiders have handled it appropriately. I think that he deserves the maximum punishment that the law would allow under a situation like this.
Yeah.
But we can't lose sight of the fact that there's a human being here who's going to have to live with this every day for the rest of his life. And if he has any conscience, if he has any human emotion or compassion within himself, he will be haunted and tormented by this every day for the rest of his life, as he should be.
Yeah.
But I hold out hope that he will be motivated to maybe help save a life at some point down the line. Nothing he does at this point can undo what he did, but maybe he can, in a roundabout way, help prevent these kinds of things from happening in the future. It's inexcusable. It's unfathomable in today's society, but it still happens. And hopefully we'll get to a point where it doesn't. Let's take a break. There's a game tonight. Week 9 begins with the Jets and the Colts. We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Right after a game like Sunday, it was pretty obvious how much that one stung you personally, Carson, etc. How do you process the game after that? Do you go home, do you watch the tape right away? How does Sunday play out?
Yeah, you know, came into the office right away after the game.
Come back over here.
Yeah, you know, just come right over here. you know, watch the tape, especially because of Thursday night. If it wasn't Thursday night, probably not. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But Thursday night game, got to come in here, you know, get through it and move on to the next one. Learn, you know, like I used to use this term, kind of drag yourself through the mud, you know. Like some people don't like to drag themselves through the mud. There's probably a point where it's not healthy to drag yourself through the mud. But my experience is that if you don't drag yourself through the mud, you don't get the full benefit of the experience of how I can get better, how we can get better as a team. And and it means a lot to you. So I sometimes kid with the coaches, hey, anyway, I got about another hour of dragging myself through the mud, and then I'll snap out of it, and then we'll all move forward.
Well said.
Frank Reich, Colts head coach, and that's what you got to do. And,
yeah,
you know, there's something to be said for having another train immediately on the tracks just a few days later.
No
you
doubt.
Can't wallow in misery for what might have been against the Titans. And the Colts have to be even more miserable when they realize, as we said yesterday, no Derrick Henry now, maybe for the rest of the season for the Titans. What an opportunity the Colts blew to tighten it up and still have an opportunity to take the division. They still may. They got to make up four games in nine, but we'll see what the Titans can do starting on Sunday Night Football against the Rams. But, you know, Chris, even though the Jets are 2-5 and the Colts are 3-5, number one, it's football. Number two, it's on TV.
Right.
Number three, there's nothing else I'm going to be watching tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by this. An old AFC East rivalry renewed.
Right.
Jets used to be with the Colts in the AFC East. The Colts moved to the AFC South 20 years ago. I kind of like this. And let's start with the Jets when they have the ball. Mike White playing again. How do you think it's going to look?
Well, I don't think it's going to look like last week, okay? I don't think he's going to throw for 400 yards. I think the way that the Indianapolis Colts play defense is a little different than the Cincinnati Bengals. I also think they're going to sit there and go, wait, Cincinnati kept giving up all these short, easy completions to Mike White. I mean, he never attempted a pass over 20 yards. Two of the three leading receivers on his team were the running backs out of the backfield. So that, to me, is where it's going to be a different game. Like, Mike White, with the way the Colts play defense, they have a good front four that can pressure you and get in the face of the quarterback. He's going to have to make some plays. He is. Now, the Jets, the run game, it shows signs of life. This kid right here, Ty Johnson's a hell of a player. Their fourth-round pick, Michael Carter, right here on the screen. I mean, again, this is laying out perfectly for me because you can see all the short passes that are being thrown here other than one touchdown. That's where they got something. I mean, this Michael Carter, he's the real deal. I mean, he's perfect for the modern-day NFL because, again, another short pass to him for his ability to run, but he's a great pass catcher out of the backfield. But the Colts play a defense where they're going to take that stuff away. They're not, and it's going to happen. They're not going to let that happen and die that slow death. So that's where I think it's going to be a tougher struggle for the Jets on the offensive side of the ball as compared to what I looked at as a underwhelming performance by the Bengals because they beat the Ravens and there was that psychological part of the situation. And they kind of played, let's just drop back and play it safe and he'll screw it up. And he tried to screw it up early on, but he then at some point got in a rhythm and I mean, the Bengals just never adjusted to where you're like, okay, he's completing passes now. You can't just keep going back and playing soft. Like, he's in a rhythm. Something's got to change. I don't see the Colts approaching it that way on the defensive side of the ball.
And I really do think that psychologically the Bengals went into that game
100%.
Thinking, this is a check mark. And it proved to me they're not ready to be an elite team.
Because
that's
elite
teams go into a situation like
that
and they kick ass.
That's right. I think
they don't step on a rake.
It's the number one thing. Like, you know, my dad and I, we were having this conversation on my podcast yesterday, but it's like the number one thing that jumps out to you. And you bring it up all the time. This is where you're great at picking games because you were very good at your psychoanalysis that way.
I wasn't good on Sunday. Well, made the Bengals the best bet to cover.
Well,
and they were
okay.
Up 31-20. Well, I'm thinking, hey, baby, give me my money.
I know, but you're right on that more times than not. And you're right. They were very close to being able to put that away a few times. Now, the Jets made a few plays, definitely. But, no, I think, you know, you have a Jets team who came off getting, you know, walloped by the New England Patriots. And then you have, yes, like you said, the Bengals team coming off a big win of the Ravens with their chest puffed out like, yeah, we're one of the best teams in the AFC. It's the NFL, like you said. It's even. The best team and the worst team is not that big of a gap. It's not like college football where it's going to be a 72-0 blowout. That's not going to happen. You know, so the Jets will be a pain in the butt tonight, but I don't think they're as good as the Colts. I'm not giving up on the Colts yet. Yeah, they're 3-5. But as we've talked about a lot this year, you know, 17-game season, I mean, they could still get in easily at 9-8. I mean, easily. We'll see how this plays out, but I still think there's a lot of playoff qualities about the Colts football team, and that's why I'm not gonna totally abandon ship on them quite yet.
Hey, there's three spots in the postseason beyond what the division winners automatically lock up. So yep. Even if they can't catch the Titans, they're not out of the question
right.
for a wild card berth, because look at the struggles of the Chiefs.
Yep.
Look at where the Chargers are right now.
Right.
Look at what's going on with the Browns.
Yep.
The Steelers are just above water. The Bengals losing to the Jets helps the Colts. The Colts, I think, this is one of those reestablish yourself type of a games. We're doing our picks later, but I agree with you. I like what the Colts can do. I like what Jonathan Taylor's doing in the run game. And even though Carson Wentz needs to not try to be Superman,
yes.
because that's when he flies into a building.
Right.
If he can contain himself and know when to pull the plug on a play.
That's right.
That will help too.
Yes, 100%. Hey, the Titans they're a good football team. I mean, like we kind of talked about, I mean, they were kind of rounding into one of the teams you go, damn, they're definitely a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, like 100%. You know, they did some really good things in that football game. It's not an easy game. Of course, it's also a divisional matchup. And the Titans have become like masters of the zone defense, a little bit like the New England Patriots are right now, where they know how to pass people off in every zone, and they make life hard on you. And, yeah, Carson Wentz, you know, he's played good football for the most part of the year. It was a little slow early on. He got hot here as of late. He ran into a buzzsaw with a divisional team that kind of knows their offense, knows some of the tricks of the trade, that what they like to do, and he compounded some of those mistakes and wouldn't get off receivers and, like you said, held the ball a little too long too many times. There were some definite blatant mistakes. The one thing I will say, though, too, is, like you just mentioned it, Frank Reich's got to be more patient with the run game. Jonathan Taylor's too good to be only giving him 16 carries in a game where he had 70 yards. And it wasn't like one of those runs was 60 yards and the rest of it was nothing. You know, it was 16 carries, 70 yards. The longest run of the day was 12 yards. Now, what happened in the game a little bit, they got a bunch of holding calls on some successful runs, and I think that frustrated Frank Reich. But he did a little bit of an injustice to his team that way. We're giving up on it a little bit and let the Titans just play pass defense after pass defense after pass defense. And I would imagine that's going to be a little bit different tonight too. Now, the Jets defense is no punk. You know, we see they can make a few plays and do things, but they're not overly talented. And I would think the Colts can move the ball on them a little bit.
I mean, the Jets are going to be feeling confident, but they did catch the Bengals at the perfect time. One of the things Mike White told me after the game, to explain why he started 11 for 11, the Bengals just assumed they were going to run the ball. It's his backup quarterback.
That's, you know, what I mean.
For Joe Flacco.
That's,
they don't believe in him.
Right.
And so
they played vanilla
defenses.
Yes, exactly right. But yeah, you're laying out, thank you for even adding that. That lays out the point I was trying to make more. Yeah, they played very vanilla, like, oh, you know, this is, they're not going to be anything good. Let's not us take any chances and mess something up. You know, and that's fine. But at some point you got to reevaluate and go, wait, it's not working anymore. And again, I think the Colts are a little bit more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, to where, you know, they're going to force the Jets to have to make throws. Mike White make throws down the field in the pocket. He's not going to give them that highlight show we just showed there, where every ball was a check down to the running back and the running back got to run for 15 yards after the catch. That I would be shocked if that's the case tonight.
Well, it should be a fun game just because, look.
It's football.
We're already halfway through. This is the halfway point of the season. Week 18 will be here before you know it. Let's enjoy these standalone games while we can. And we've said this time and again, we're in the middle of information overload from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock Eastern on Sunday with all these games happening at once. I love being able to watch one game at a time.
Me
I don't
too.
Care who's playing. I love being able to
Me
watch
too.
One game.
I'm with you. It's just something about it. You know, and of course, you always learn a few things, too. I mean, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck get to talk to the coaches. They get to hear a few little inside details that they bring out during the game. And you go, damn, that's good to know. That puts some things into context about things I've been questioning, you know, on film or whatever else. So I'm with you all the way. I can't wait. And like you said, it's the NFL. I mean, these teams are so close, and it's very rarely a one-sided blowout type of football game. And I don't expect it to be that way tonight. I don't.
You already know the status of Aaron Rodgers for Week 9. When we return, we'll give you some updates on other quarterbacks who still have a chance to play, including Dak Prescott of the Cowboys. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
I feel good, man. I feel really good. Blessed. I feel good. No, it's good. That's good. Just like I was taking it one day at a time. Not really putting anything on it. Just like I said, taking it one day at a time. See where I go.
He's the type of player with his ability, his understanding of the system. Now, as long as he's getting the mental reps, we feel good about him going out there and executing.
Kyler Murray injured his ankle late in last Thursday night's loss to the Packers. It was the play right before the throw to A.J. Green when A.J. Green didn't turn around for the ball. It was a miscommunication. Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday it was nobody's fault. And the ankle is nobody's fault. It just happens. It got tackled and you can injure your ankle. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Murray did not practice on Wednesday. He believes he can play even if he doesn't practice. We'll see. They got a big game against the 49ers in Santa Clara on Sunday. Huge game for the 49ers. Cardinals trying to get back on the right track. Obviously, Chris, they need Kyler Murray.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, again, the 49ers with Trey Lance, they played them tough the first time around. It was 17-10. I mean, the 49ers had a lot of chances to win that football game. Their defense can match up with the Cardinals in a lot of ways just because of their scheme. You know, they are a fast defense. So they can give them issues that way, certainly. They need Kyler Murray. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's a great matchup. It's a crucial, crucial game for the 49ers. You know, again, we know how good the NFC is, and there's certainly five, maybe six teams kind of separating themselves from the pack to where you're starting to look at it and go, man, we're getting close here and not too far away another few weeks where you might be looking at this going, there's only one place left. The seventh seed for all these teams on the fringe. So a big game for them. But, yeah, Kyler Murray is he's such a game changer in so many ways because of his athletic ability. He stresses a defense out because you always have to worry about him scrambling, some of the quarterback design runs. And then, of course, they have talent around him everywhere now, too, that makes it tough. And, yeah, I hope he does play because I like watching him play. You know, he's one of your favorite players. He's one of my favorite to watch, too.
And they definitely need to get back on the right track.
Yep.
You can't allow one to become two,
right?
Because that can become three, and before you know it,
yeah,
the Rams are in control of the division.
Right.
It's critical that the Cardinals keep winning games and hold off the Rams, who may not lose another one, frankly, the way they're going. The Broncos are at the Cowboys. Cowboys are 6-1 after losing week one and winning six in a row. They managed to win without Dak Prescott on Sunday night. Dak was limited at practice on Wednesday. He's expected to be full go on Thursday. I continue to believe that they need to be careful about this. They should be able to beat the Broncos with Cooper Rush. They can't risk a setback and then have the Cowboys not have a shot to climb the ladder. They have a chance to get higher than four, especially with Aaron Rodgers now on the COVID list and missing at least one game and maybe more.
Yeah,
I just think they need to think about the games they'll win with Dak coming up. They got Chiefs and Raiders 4 days apart later this month. The next two games they could win without Cooper Rush. They just need to be 100% certain that he's good to go before they risk a re-injury, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you got to be careful. You've said it. We've talked about it. It's a delicate little spot on the body there, the calf muscle. And you know, yeah, it's a quarterback. I know that. But the calf muscle gets used a lot, throwing, shuffling around the pocket, changing direction, you know, as playing the quarterback position. I mean, be careful, but – I would also say this is a little different team, too. Like, the Broncos are a better defense. There's no doubt about that. Like, life won't be easy on Cooper Rush this week. I mean, the Vikings, as we know, last week, I mean, again, go back and watch that game. I mean, they had to commit to stopping the run to such an extent that they gave so many easy throws to Cooper Rush. And of course, then your Vikings corners, you know, I'm trying to give you a little jab there. The Vikings corners aren't very good either. And I mean, when you watch the game for the most part, it's like, hey, guy, go down there and run a 12-yard curl route. Hey, guy, run a slant route. It wasn't like he was going through reads. It was like, oh, they're trying to stop the run. We got one-on-one on the outside. Denver's defense is better schematically and talent-wise to where if they do have to go with Cooper Rush, it's going to be an uphill battle for sure. So you'd like to have Dak Prescott, but like you said, you don't want to jeopardize the rest of the season or four or five other games just to rush him back.
Yeah, and look, the Cowboys are one of the best teams right now in the NFL.
Definitely.
And the fact that they were able to win in Minnesota without Dak Prescott underscores that they're a team that needs to be taken very seriously, and they may be the team that comes out of the NFC by the time it's all said and done.
Are you like, I get a lot of people, you know, talk radio, stuff like that. They're like, you know, how do you view the Cowboys? Like, you know, they're not sure yet. And I'm just like, what? I mean, there's nothing to not be sure about anymore, guys. Like, that's over. We're almost at the halfway point of the year. They're definitely, like you just said, are one of the best teams in football, period. They are across the board. And for a lot of reasons, like we talked about, but yeah, this isn't like, oh, they're going to fall off and like go through a bad stretch at any point. Yeah, they might lose two, three more games throughout the year, but there's no question in my mind that they're here to stay. And with Dak Prescott, they're definitely one of the best teams in the league.
The Saints are one of the best teams in the conference, even though they started 2-2 and they looked sluggish and they don't have their starting quarterback in Jameis Winston. He's out for the year with a torn ACL. Taysom Hill returned to practice on Wednesday. The expectation has been that he'll be good to go on Sunday against the Falcons. With a concussion, you never know for sure, and you can be cleared, and then you can have a setback. But it's trending in that direction. Sean Payton has to decide, will it be Taysom Hill as the starter or Trevor Siemian as the starter, with Taysom Hill as the jack of all trades? They've got the 3-4 Falcons coming to town. It is a bitter rivalry still, and the Falcons are one of those teams. There are nine teams in the NFC that are jockeying for that seventh seed the way things are right now. It is amazing. Six teams have two or fewer losses in the NFC, and the rest of them all have four or more losses. The Falcons, one of them with four losses. And, hey, this is an opportunity to tighten up a little bit and also keep themselves in the mix for a playoff berth. So it's not going to be an easy one for the Saints. I still think I'd go with Taysom Hill.
The
starter.
Me too.
Not Trevor Siemian.
Right.
Just because they didn't really use Taysom Hill much in the jack-of-all-trades role when Winston was the starter.
Right. I know. Exactly right. You know, it's one of the reasons I thought they would go to Taysom Hill back, you know, when the season started, just because of all the kind of the reasons we saw. You know, the passing offense, it's not on the Drew Brees level when he was quarterback. And a lot of young, new wide receivers. You're depending on, you know, a new tight end. That's where I thought Taysom Hill would be the guy, because he can bring an element to the offense that can take a little pressure off some of that stuff. So I would go with Taysom Hill. Again, they were 4-1 with him last year at quarterback and really, you know, kind of messed up a game in Philly where he would have been 5-0. You know, they got a little like caught by surprise with the Jalen Hurts experience in his first start. So that's the angle I would go. I think the Saints are clearly the better team as compared to the Atlanta Falcons. I do, all across the board. And especially, you know, the Falcons with no Calvin Ridley, you know, at wide receiver, just it changes them a little bit. You know, he's damn good. You know, there's only so many times they could throw the ball to Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson, and their run game's not that special. I mean, you know, I guess I'm tipping my hand here, but you can tell I like the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Saints too.
Yeah.
I wish that I would have liked the Saints on Sunday. I'd have a 10-game lead over you if I had, and we've got that.
Stop rubbing it in, you jerk.
It really is unhealthy how competitive we are about this.
I know.
I hate
you
feeling this way.
You just pissed me off right there. You really did. Like,
it's so stupid. We're acting like children, and I love every minute of it.
I know.
Let's go ahead and take a break. By the way, real quickly, they're announcing the players of the month.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and give these guys quick recognition because we have time to do it. Cooper Kupp is the offensive player of the month for the NFC.
On fire.
No real surprise there.
Right.
Devondre Campbell, the Packers, is the defensive player of the month.
I like it.
For the NFC.
Good.
And on the offensive side of the ball for the AFC, Jonathan Taylor of the Colts
there
is the
you
player
go.
Of the month.
Let's
impressive.
Go. Give him the ball more.
And Kevin Byard of the Titans Ooh. Is the defensive player of the month. Also, Najee Harris is the league's offensive rookie of the month. Haven't seen the defensive rookie of the month come through. I have a feeling it's probably Micah Parsons, right? Who else would it be?
I mean, I would think so, too. Micah Parsons.
Is there any other rookie playing on defense?
I mean, and Micah Parsons already in the conversation for one of the best defensive players in football. I mean, forget rookie or whatever. He's up there with the best guys in the sport. I mean, he's phenomenal. I mean, I love watching Micah Parsons. So, good. Yeah, I'm glad we gave them some recognition.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, we're going to have a draft, and we're not doing the Thursday matchup draft today. We are drafting the potential
Whoa.
Destinations for one Odell Beckham
Whoa.
Jr. We'll do that next here on PFT Live. I get so many
oh,
emails.
Oh, I know. I know.
About you saying Bengals.
Yeah.
On this show.
The Bengals, you know, blew opportunities.
On Football Night in America.
Big play Bengals, Mike.
And on your damn podcast.
He's in a rhythm, Bengals.
Why am I the one that has to bear the brunt of you not knowing the difference between Bengal and Bengal? And I just respond to him saying, I gave up years ago.
Bengals, it's Bengals. It's not Bengals, you moron.
That's how I talk. Shut up and deal with it, okay?
I just got an email today.
Yeah.
8:29 a.m.
Right.
Calling them Bengals is lazy and disrespectful. Sims prides himself on his playing days and current friendships, yet he makes foolish lacks of discipline that teams wouldn't tolerate and friends would challenge. That's from Dennis.
Oh, Dennis.
Thank
come
you
on.
For listening, Dennis.
Chill out, Dennis.
Dennis is up early. Dennis lives on the West Coast, so right. Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis, it's
I
something
give up.
I say
There's
wrong.
There's nothing I can do.
Okay.
There's nothing I can do.
Dennis.
You won't say Bengals. You say Bengals. I think you do it on purpose now. I think you're trolling
I'm
me.
I'm not. It's just, I don't know. It's how, I don't know if it's something I grew up in North Jersey. It's how I said. I mean, again, we can go around the country, and I can find a ton of people who say things the wrong way all the time. I mean, you know, shut up. It's not tournament. It's tournament. It's tournament. It's not spelled Tour de France. It's tournament. I bet you Dennis says tournament. It's tournament, Dennis. How disrespectful to every tournament in all of sports. It's tournament. Like, I mean, come on. Shut up. Bengals.
Did you say,
deal with it.
Did you say Tour de France?
Yeah,
tour
it's not the Tour de,
tour de France.
Well, that's a Tour de France. But yet, okay. With the tournament, everyone goes tournament.
All right.
Yep, you got
first
me going.
Pick for you,
yeah.
The OBJ destinations, and I assume it will not be the Bengals or the Bengals.
No, it would it'd actually be kind of cool if he did go there, him and Jamar Chase, but no, it's not going to be. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. That's where I want to go see him first. I do. Yeah, I mean, would I love to see him opposite Tyreek Hill with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? I think they need another weapon. You know, yeah, their season it's hanging in the balance here. There's no doubt about that, but I do think they're a team that will – you know how to get him the ball, and they need another weapon badly, and I would just love to see that firepower for the pure theatrics of all of it.
I love a good story, and the rich getting richer, the arms race in the NFC, the Buccaneers, we talked about it earlier, put him on the practice squad for a little while, let everyone in Tampa see what this guy will do with Tom Brady, and put him on the 53-man roster and get him on the field just in time for the Buccaneers to mash the gas pedal in December. That will be fascinating if it happens.
I don't even want to see that. I can't believe you want to see that. They have so many weapons.
They have the most weapons I've almost seen at any team in the history of football. I don't want to see that. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm going to challenge that one, and
you
I hope.
You just hate Tom Brady and don't want him to win another Super Bowl.
No, I don't care. I don't care. I'm fine with it either way. Tom Brady's awesome. I'm all for that. I just don't want to see him there. I don't. They're good enough. They got enough going on. I want to see, you know, I want to see things get equal and interesting. I'm into that more than anything. All right. All right, well, I'll have to go to the Green Bay COVIDs. I'm going to go there next. Going there. I mean, yeah, as much as I'm pissed off at Aaron Rodgers and how cavalier he's been with this and the fact that he's definitely gambling the Super Bowl chances of the Green Bay Packers, they're another team. We've talked about this for 5 weeks in a row. They need another guy. We know that. And, of course, Odell with Davante Adams and the way Rodgers throws the ball. And, of course, you know, they run the right plays all the time. They could really stress out a team, and I think it would take their team to another stratosphere.
I am going to go – see, I think he's going to end up with the Saints. But this is more – I guess our preferred destinations. Right. And again, I love to see the all-in move and then wait to see if it works or not. And we mentioned the Rams. This falls right in line with what the Rams do. They cut DeSean Jackson. Tutu Atwell's out for the year. I know they've got Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Van Jefferson, but you know, you add Odell Beckham Jr. to that mix. Just
damn
make him
you.
A running back.
You just want all-star teams, huh? Apparently.
I'm fascinated by the possibilities. And he's going to want to go somewhere where the deck is stacked in his favor to try to win a Super Bowl, I guarantee you. Because in his mind, that'll be the ultimate vindication from his time with the Giants and his time with the Browns. I got to pick my spot, and I picked a winner, and I got a Super Bowl ring, and I was a difference maker in helping the team get there. So I'll go Rams. If not Bucks, I'll go Rams.
Okay, damn, you're all about it. Okay, we're going.
Let's take a break. Okay. Let's take a break.
Okay,
no,
cool.
By the way, Nick Bolton of the Chiefs is the defensive rookie of the month, not Micah Parsons. So maybe they are trying to spread the wealth a little bit at 345 Park Avenue. We'll do round three of the Odell Beckham Jr. Destination Draft right after this on PFT Live. All right, here we go. The first two rounds are in. The all-important round three. Christopher, you're up.
All right. I mean, there is a part of me that would like to see him go to the Raiders. There is. But I'm going to go with my boy Blue. I'm going to go there in Buffalo.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming.
I can't help it. You know, I think last week kind of shows why they need it. You know, a little bit of a underwhelming win against the Dolphins, who played a lot of man-to-man in the game. And again, I know everyone thinks they're firepower. Buffalo's offense has not been nearly what it was last year. And I know Brian Daboll's had some family issues. And of course, they were really good, and the league is studying them. But they need something else. They do. Like, they need another weapon. You know, as I always say, there's a reason Emmanuel Sanders is on his third team in 3 years. Cole Beasley's solid, but he's a third or fourth receiver. Come on, Bills. Go get OBJ.
You know, I've kicked around several possibilities. The Cowboys are one, but they don't need him. They just don't need him. It would be fascinating. They don't need him. How about the Cardinals?
Oh, look at you. Look at you. You want to give the teams with all weapons more weapons. You're unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah, you are unbelievable. You're building fantasy teams over here.
I want to see how he'll survive and possibly thrive among those weapons. Well, will he stand out? Right?
Yeah. Right.
Will he make a difference?
Yeah.
He you can't go to the Vikings. I don't want him on my Vikings.
Oh,
he's a
no.
cancer. I'm
don't
kidding.
Worry.
I'm
no,
kidding.
No, wait.
I'm kidding.
Please don't go to the Vikings, OBJ. Please don't. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I'm shocked. I'm amazed by you.
We apparently have a throwback Thursday. Let's see what it is. I have no idea what it is, so you'll see our reaction. Oh, it's the Jets' final drive against the Colts from the 2010 AFC wildcard game.
Wow. Right.
The Jets would make it that year to the AFC Championship. That was when Mark Sanchez won four playoff road games in two seasons, setting the all-time record for playoff road wins by a quarterback. I remember watching this game. Peyton Manning and the Colts went down to Rex Ryan, the New York Jets, There was LaDainian Tomlinson with the Jets.
Ooh. And then that was the next week they went to New England and beat Brady and company. I mean, that was amazing.
Destroyed them.
Yes.
Destroyed them. After losing badly to Brady and company on a Monday night a month earlier, that was one of those games where pressure up the middle repeatedly.
Definitely.
And they took down
the
Patriots.
Rex Ryan in his prime, man, they were creative and good on that defensive side of the ball.
Maybe we'll get a game like that tonight. Only one way to find out. Watch it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.